Welcome to The Follow-Up. This is the place where we explore questions you've submitted after Sunday's sermon. Maybe it's something that left you curious, confused, or inspired. We'll talk through it together. Ready? Let's get to The Follow-Up.
Well, hey, welcome back to The Follow-Up Podcast, everybody. Pastor Sean here with Pastor Crystals, a couple of the pastors here at Life Community Church.
Yep.
And we're glad that you're joining us. Anna, you got a little something new to drink today.
I am drinking, you know, it's Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
And I got these holiday flavored sparkling waters. And this one is a spiced pear cider sparkling water. It's really good. It's the best sparkling water I've ever had. So,
wow. That's like saying something.
I know. It's pretty good.
All right.
And you have
spiced
pear cider sparkling water.
Okay.
That's natural flavors.
Natural. Wow. All right.
So there you go.
Well, I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah.
And so same thing, you know, just my sister's French press coffee from the morning. And, you know, like my wife left early this morning. And so I had the whole pot to myself.
Hey.
Right. And so I got a full,
wow,
full deal here.
Okay.
So we'll try to make it through the podcast.
Okay. Fair warning.
All right. Well, hey, we're wrapping up our series on This Is How We Do This, looking at our values here. The values are the kind of guiding behaviors that help us to accomplish our mission of connecting people to Jesus and their life's purpose. We talked about how every church has a way of going about kind of their work, and ours are defined by our five values that have been with us really since the very beginning, since 1939. In various ways and forms. You know, we've talked about some of that, and I've enjoyed kind of working back through them again. And you got to wrap the series up with optimism.
Yeah.
And a cool idea that's centered around the biblical or the theological reality of hope.
Yeah.
And we just say, we just use the word optimism, that the best is yet to come. And so we did get a question that came in. And so we'll jump in with that and then have a couple other thoughts here. But here's the question, more personal. Mm-hmm. Do you have any encouragement for when optimism feels really hard? Like when you've been praying and waiting for something faithfully and God still hasn't moved in that area?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really relatable question. I'm sure many of us can think of spaces and situations in our life where we've been praying for something, hoping for something for a long time and have yet to see any change happen in that. I think I would bring it back to where we place our optimism in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if our optimism is wrapped up or our hope is wrapped up in that specific situation changing, and if it doesn't change, then yeah, it's going to feel disappointing. Mm-hmm. But if we can kind of shift our view and think, you know, this situation might not change. This might not, you know, my prayers for this might not be answered in the way that I hope that they would be. So, but my optimism, my hope is in Christ.
Right.
How do we hold those two things in tension? And I think for me personally, you know, I have several situations I can think of that are the same. Like I've been praying for something for a long time and that thing's not changing and I am not sure it will.
Mm-hmm.
I keep praying and I keep hoping, but my hope isn't wrapped up in that. And so I've had to allow myself to go, okay, well, what can God do in me in this waiting time?
Mm-hmm.
Whether I'm waiting for a short amount of time, or I'm waiting the rest of my life. What does God want to do in me while I am continuing to faithfully pray and seek his face and live, you know, faithfully walking in obedience to him? What actually might happen in me?
Right.
And I can testify that a lot can happen and that we're still becoming, you know, we say that a lot, like we're still growing, we're still becoming, and we'll do that for the rest of our life. But if my optimism, my hope is tied up in that thing changing and it doesn't change, I'm going to feel discouraged all the time. But if my optimism and hope is wrapped up in what God is doing in me while I wait, then that feels exciting. Mm-hmm. And it feels like there's this opportunity. You know, we talked again about like not seeing things that we're facing challenges as, you know, obstacles, but as opportunities for God's presence to do something in our life. And I think that that's a really important place that many of us are, we have to come to. You know, we're all going to face difficult things and we can fight it, or we can say, okay, God, what are you going to do in the middle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You talked about on Sunday about how this reality that this life is not all there is.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, because we are finite, mm-hmm. you know, beings, that we tend to kind of get like laser focused on just like our circumstances yeah. and our time, you know, and this reality that God's kingdom is already at, you know, it's yeah. already happening. New creation is already at work. And so there is this reality that we have to kind of mature into.
Yeah.
And it's like maturing into hope, right? Yeah. Like this, you know, even though like this life is really important, this life is not all there is. And I was reminded kind of when you were talking about like God can do something in us, but it's not always about us.
Yep.
And so I was reminded of the passage that's, you know, really famous in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, where it kind of lists all yeah. like the heroes of the faith. You know, it goes everything from, that goes from beginning yep. to end, you know, and all these people who lived with this expectation that God would do something in their time, mm-hmm. right? And God doesn't, you know. Yep. And so the last verse 39 of chapter 11 says, these were all these people were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised.
Yep.
Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just thinking about, I go back to that quite often, about like none of them received what yep. was promised, right?
Yeah.
Like, and yet they just believed that God would do it.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't in their time, God would still do it. And they got to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And this idea that through that posture of mm-hmm. optimism, mm-hmm. through that posture of hope, they were being perfected, right? Like this idea that something is being done in me, that I'm learning to trust and learning to hope, even maybe in the midst of circumstances that don't change yeah. in this life.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the key kind of, I'm losing the word, but maybe components or characteristics of the Christian faith, mm-hmm. like this kind of audacious hope, this audacious optimism mm-hmm. that says, hey, like as bad as it might get, we don't lose hope.
Yeah.
Like we believe that like the best is yet to come, because Jesus is faithful and true, right? Like he will do what he said he would do. Yeah. And so there is kind of this, audaciousness mm-hmm. in terms of the Christian faith, those who follow Jesus, when it comes to like, how do I posture myself even when things aren't going well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just yeah. like,
yeah. The last point on Sunday was that optimistic churches and people courageously mm-hmm. pursue God's purposes. Mm-hmm. Well, our purpose is to become like Christ. Like, that's our whole purpose, is to be made perfect in yeah. love, and that takes time, and that takes a willingness to be courageously optimistic and say, I'm going to continue pressing forward regardless of what happens, mm-hmm. regardless of this, if this mm-hmm. thing doesn't change. And I think the more we fight it, the more difficult we make it for ourselves.
Yeah.
And it really is, again, a part of an act of surrender and saying, I'm going to choose to be optimistic, and I'm going to surrender the places in my life that I'm struggling to see that in, mm-hmm. trusting that, again, you're going to do something in and through me, mm-hmm. and I might not see it, mm-hmm. but I'm going to believe anyways. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of your points was that we acknowledge reality.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not like optimism isn't just this like, well, I'm just going to pretend that it's not terrible.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. And I think the Psalms give us permission around that, around like, hey, we can name it, we can grieve it, we can be disappointed yep. by it, and still believe that God is at work.
Yeah.
And hold that, you know, Jesus said, you know, blessed are those who mourn, right? Yeah. Like this idea, I can still hold that kind of grief or hold that pain in kind of the container of mm-hmm. like, one day God's going to make it right.
Yep.
And I don't know how or when, but one day he'll make it right.
Yeah.
So kind of along those lines, you know, there was a part two to this question of, you know, any encouragement for when life kind of hits you upside the head and nothing changes. There was also like the attachment to like people who continue to hurt you, and optimism becomes painful to hold on to. What would you say to this idea that, you know, we continue to maybe lean into relationships or people and hope for the best, but they just continue to, you know, never change their behavior or continue to hurt us by their actions or their lack of change, you know? And maybe it's a, you know, I think some of the hardest ones are like it's a spouse,
yeah,
right? Or a close relative. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
You have any thoughts around that one?
I think I'm again just thinking about, you know, where we're placing our optimism or our hope. If it's in somebody's change of behavior and they continue to not change that behavior, then yeah, I'm going to continue to feel disappointed. Mm-hmm. But if I believe that God could change their heart, mm-hmm. you know, then it's, you know, it's going to prayer. I'm like, okay, how do I continue to pray for this situation and hope that you're hopefully going to do something in their life. Mm-hmm. And I have to believe that everybody is capable of turning their life around, that mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit, there's nobody that's beyond reach. There's nobody's right. behavior. There's nobody's past or anything that can't be made right.
Yeah.
That can't be reconciled. And so if I believe that, then I can continue to lean in. You know, you've got boundaries,
yeah.
you have,
right.
you know, safe things that you need to do, especially if it's, you know, just depending on the situation, but you're smart and you're wise about things and also going, God, this is a big deal. I need you to do something mm-hmm. miraculous here. And I mm-hmm. believe it, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I might not see it,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you think about like the grandparents that have been praying for
right.
their kids for decades and decades, and like they just don't give up. And, you know, we've talked here about we're becoming a praying people. Like mm-hmm. we have to be a people who believe that and are just going to keep praying that God's going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think prayer is one of the most optimistic things that we can do as well.
Yeah. Yeah, one of your points again in the message was that Jesus was optimistic about people.
Yeah,
as you know, sitting in the crowd, you know, listening to that, you know, my all of my little like alarms go off in my head because the scripture says some pretty unoptimistic mm-hmm. things about people.
Yeah,
right. In terms of like, we are sinful, right, mm-hmm. and we carry. You know, what, you know, we call it original sin, right? From birth, just by being human,
mm-hmm.
I'm a part of the curse. And then, and not only that, then just the things that we do that are ungodly and yeah. unloving and all the things. Right. And so, you know, when you said it, like for me, it was like, well, what about, you know, maybe you're like that too. And you're listening to a sermon yeah. or whatever, you know, all the whatabouts. But you said Jesus was optimistic about people. Mm-hmm. And I know like you're smart enough to like, it included all that pieces in there. You want to tell like,
yeah.
I think that kind of connects to what the question
yeah.
was in terms of like, Jesus was optimistic about people, even though he knew
yep.
like that people were messed up.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, I said that, you know, Jesus sees people, saw people through the lens of Genesis 1, when everything was made right, everything was made perfect, that male and female were created in God's image
mm-hmm.
to reflect mm-hmm. his glory. Mm-hmm. And it was all perfect. And that was how it was intended to be. And we often tend to jump, you know, Genesis 3, when everything hits the fan and sin enters the world, all of that's distorted, all of that, you know, the relational connection between God and humanity and between humanity and creation, the whole mm-hmm. thing, it's just messed up. And so the rest of the story we see in scripture, and then even now, it's tainted by mm-hmm. that. But Jesus knows what is coming
mm-hmm.
and what he is bringing about. Mm-hmm. And so he sees people through the lens of how it was once made mm-hmm. and once intended to be, or always intended to be. And so I have to think the same way. I have to be able to put that right. lens on and go, you, this person who is messing up, is really being dumb, maybe making stupid choices. You also are made in God's mm-hmm. image, and you have the potential
mm-hmm.
to be somebody that I may, maybe can't even imagine, but Jesus can.
Right.
And so I have to believe that that's true. And I think about my own self. Like we tend to separate and be like, well, these people are this way, but yeah. I know. I'm made in God's image. And for myself, like, man, I am a sinner. Mm-hmm. Like I need Jesus. I need his grace. And I have to believe that that's true for everybody. Mm-hmm. That everybody can experience transformation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's again, like the way we posture ourselves towards the world. Is that like God, that same spirit that raised mm-hmm. Christ from the dead can transform somebody's life.
Yeah.
And you know, we all hear stories about like this radical transformation, mm-hmm. And that it's possible. And I think that's what Jesus saw,
yep.
right? Recognizing that we're all broken.
Yeah.
And like, hey, like everybody can change. Yeah. Like the whole, like, you know, come to me mm-hmm. and experience that transformation. Now, whether or not somebody chooses to do that.
Yeah, I was thinking about Judas, right? Like, you have to know that Jesus saw what could be.
Right.
You know, I don't. And yet he made a choice not to. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Jesus was, you know, thinking, well, this is just going to go downhill anyways.
Right.
But I think he could see the potential in who Judas could be. And we make our own choices, but that potential's there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think, like, when it comes back to that mm-hmm. original question that we got, it's like, we can't ever give up hope that Jesus could change somebody's life.
Yeah.
Right. And that, like, that's the posture. It doesn't, you said it, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't have boundaries. Yeah. It doesn't mean that sometimes we have to, you know, like, I don't want to say cut off a relationship, but like step back from relationships, you know, that are harmful or whatever. And I think we can still hold on to this reality that, Jesus can change that person's life. Right. It may not happen through you, right? It may happen through somebody else. But I think that's kind of what you were talking about, where it's like we can hold on in prayer for those people and in hope that God can change them. And like, hey, I have to put a boundary. I have to separate myself from that. I think sometimes we're too quick to do that. You know, and I'm not talking about those relationships where like actual like abuse or harm is happening, but. I think sometimes we haven't prayed it through enough to mm-hmm. say, God, could you strengthen me in this space? And then with other people, you know, having discernment and using wisdom to lean in and to continue to journey with people. And you and I think, as you know, we have opportunity to, you know, journey with congregants, mm-hmm. right? Like we see firsthand those people that are holding on, like, oh, the thread, right, of these relationships or in prayer and just believing that God can do something in somebody's life. Well, again, kind of that audacity of hope in that. So,
yeah,
it's a good question. It's hard. Those are hard sometimes spaces to stay optimistic in that. Yeah. You say another spot in the sermon that optimistic churches and people recognize optimism as a choice.
Yep.
Can we get like practical for a minute? Like, what does that look like? If it's a choice, what does that maybe kind of look like in our day? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. I think about, okay, so if I'm faced with something that feels really difficult or a person that feels really difficult, I had a recent interaction with someone at a grocery store and I had to pause and be like, I'm going to choose right now to believe mm-hmm. that they are doing the best they can with what they have mm-hmm. and believe that, again, they're made in the image of God. And so I get to choose how I respond to them. Mm-hmm. Now I can have feelings about the situation, but I'm going to respond in a way that reflects what I believe to be true. Mm-hmm. And that takes us slowing down. It mm-hmm. takes us, you know, pausing and thinking through responses, reactions, and how we handle situations. And that's hard when we're moving fast, especially in a grocery line. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And what is with you today? But I can choose to have a different kind of perspective in that moment. And I think that goes with anything.
Yeah.
You know?
You talked about like, pessimism is easy.
Yeah.
Right. And this idea that we maybe we change our assumptions about people. Like, you know, we tend to, and I think some ways human nature, some ways it's just the way of our society and culture right now is we assume the worst.
Yep.
Right. And so like, you know, when you're at the checkout line or whatever, you know, like, oh, that person's just a jerk.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, who knows what they were carrying with them. I think about my own stuff. Like, you know, people don't know what I'm going through. People don't know what I'm carrying. And if that's true of me, mm-hmm. then that's going to be true of other people that I'm encountering. And that's where grace comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. Having generous assumptions.
Yeah.
Like I think is, gonna... and we have to learn to lean into that. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got another one?
No, I was just thinking about, you know, that first question and all of this when we're journeying in our faith and we feel like we're in a season where it feels like we're not hearing a whole lot from God or nothing's changing. And we're trying to lean into stuff. Okay, I want to lean into what God might be doing in me. I was thinking of a resource that had been really helpful for me in a season of waiting. It's a book called The Land Between by Jeff Mannion. And so I just wanted to recommend that book for people that feel like they might be in these seasons of waiting and longing and for hope. That is just a really good resource for me, a really good book. So I just wanted to recommend that.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's Thanksgiving week. It's full of emotion. You said that on Sunday. We spent time in prayer about that. And there's a lot of dynamics within families that are difficult on top of everything else that feels a little bit heavy right now. And so it might be the hardest choice this week that some people have to make to see with optimism their family, their relationships, their situation in various, you know, places to choose that God is at work, that God's going to make all things new. And in the meantime, what could God do in and through us?
Yeah, for sure. And I was just thinking about, I guess, two things when you were talking, you know, that we've said it before here in different sermon series, but, you know, sometimes it can be hard to be optimistic about yourself, right? And this idea that failure isn't final. It doesn't have to be final. I think when we keep our feet pointed, you know, towards Jesus and our heart open towards the Spirit, like your latest or most recent failure doesn't have to define your future. Like we can live with that kind of optimism and think about the life of David and, you know, these massive failures. And yet like God, like he just continues to get, you know, like God helped me get back up and like put my feet in. So like, you know, maybe you're experiencing like that kind of self, you know, doubt or whatever, you know, you're stuck kind of in your own failures, that Jesus is still optimistic about you, right? Like get your feet back pointed, towards Jesus and start walking again. Like he's still optimistic about your future. And then the other thing, like I was thinking through just in terms of like optimism's choice, is our practices. And I think, you know, we can't, I'm learning that I have a hard time being optimistic in our world when my prayer life suffers. And so like learning, and, you know, I always kind of rubbed it. I'm not necessarily a morning person. So I always kind of rubbed against this idea that you have to have all your devotion time in the morning. Like in the same, like, but, I think, I still think that's true. It did not have to be that, but there is something about starting your day, in the word and in prayer, like, this reorientation of my heart, this like, I'm going to choose to live in the optimism of grace, the optimism of hope, all those things today. And I need something to center my heart in that. And so that is a way that we choose optimism is to get ourselves grounded before the day, you know, really even gets going. And so whether that's, you know, listening, you know, to the Bible app, you know, letting it read it to you on the way to work, or Lectio 365 or whatever it is that, that helps just kind of like, okay, like I need this as an anchor today, to be a person of hope, you know, to be a person of optimism, in the things that, that I face. Cause, we're going to face challenges, right? And you said it like, optimistic people see challenges as opportunities. And, I think that's only possible, eternally speaking, when the Spirit is in us, right? Like, how, God, do you want to use this today to either like shape me, like we already talked about, or help me see others the way you see them? And so that would just be, I guess, kind of a plug again for those practices of prayer and scripture, especially silence and solitude, kind of those core things of like, God, you have to like center my heart in that thing, or else the currents of culture and whether in my life or all around me, they're too strong, right? They just pull our hearts and our minds, and we end up fretting about all the things that are bad in the world and wrong in the world, rather than seeing how God is at work in the world and how God wants to use me in the world or our church in the world. And so, you know, one of the ways we've done that here is we're going to talk about hard things, right? Yep. And so we try to like, hey, we're going to talk about hard things, but we're going to do it in a way, hopefully we've done it in a way that's optimistic.
Yeah.
Like, hey, God can still work. God can still use us. We can be a light within those spaces. Yeah. And so I'm kind of rambling now, but that's, you know, just those things that are like stirring in me mm-hmm. about optimism that God can do that work in our hearts to help us to see the way right. the world the way he sees the world and people the way he sees people and the potential that is there, even though the obstacles are very real.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting. You know, we're kicking off Advent season this coming Sunday, and the first message right out of the gate is on hope.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, maybe a little part two to what this week was and just continuing to lean into that reality that of where hope is and who our hope is.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And there's some cool, just, you know, in terms of like the example of the people of Israel
yeah.
and how they held on to hope
yep.
and what that looks like. And so, yeah. So yeah. I got a scripture I just want to read. You've mentioned it before we close, but out of all the values, which one is your, like, this is the one that comes easy to me, like your favorite?
I don't know if I'd say it comes easy to me, but I think that I've learned for me, optimism, learning for myself what it really means to have that in the midst of tough things
yeah.
has been pretty transformative
yeah.
for me. So I think in learning, you know, what it isn't and what it is
yeah.
and just seeing it in my own life play out over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. What about you?
Nice. Yeah. I think for me, probably the one that I get most passionate about is wholeheartedness.
Yeah. That's what I was going to guess.
Yeah. I think that's just something I want for my, yeah. for my life. And just seeing the difference it can make in people's yeah. lives when they choose to allow God to have all of them.
Yeah. Now if we add, you know, prayer, like we yeah. talked about, I don't know, that might be
up there.
That might be the one.
Yeah. Coming soon.
Coming
we
soon.
Think. Yes. We think. Yeah, I've been so grateful for our church and the ways yeah. that we're learning to lean into prayer.
Yeah.
So, well, you read from Revelation chapter 21, and just this vision that John has, that the Spirit gives him, of when God makes all things mm-hmm. new again. And so I thought maybe I would just read that again.
Great.
And again, a lot of symbolism, right, in Revelation. And so what John is seeing is a picture of a new Eden,
yeah.
right? When God does come and Christ comes to make all things new. He says, then I saw Revelation chapter 21, verses 1-5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, and this is Jesus speaking now, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.
Amen.
Amen. So good words
yep.
for us to leave by, and they are trustworthy and true. And so pray that you live into that kind of optimism, that kind of hope
yep.
As you go throughout your week.
Yep. Happy Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving. See you next time.
That's a wrap for today. Stay curious, and we'll see you next week.